RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news team brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN and China adopt a Code of Conduct COC framework. ASEAN issues standalone statement related to Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Now the news in detail. ASEAN and China officially adopted a framework for a Code of Conduct COC in the South China Sea at the ASEAN-China meeting in Manila, the Philippines, on Sunday. At the press conference, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said both sides would put forward constructive engagement in adopting the COC framework toward the definitive agreement of the Code of Conduct.
Pada saat saya berbicara dengan Menteri Wang Yi, saya juga sampaikan.
In the meeting with Foreign Minister Wang Yi, I conveyed my appreciation of on the constructive engagement by China, so that we could adopt the framework of a code of conduct. The adoption and then at the end of August, the joint working group on the implementation on declaration of conduct will discuss on principle and plans on how we would begin the negotiation on COC. Minister Retno Marsudi said further, Indonesia played an important role since the initial process, including designing the content of the draft of COC. In the ASEAN summit in November will be announced when the negotiation of COC will be conducted, said Minister Retno. The framework of the Code of Conduct in the South China Sea was agreed by ASEAN and China on May 19, 2017 in Guiyang. The agreement was achieved after about 15 years of negotiations. Since 90% of the South China Sea region is claimed by China, the waters become one of the most vulnerable areas of conflict. China's claims overlap with the claims of a number of other countries in Southeast Asia, such as the Vietnam, the Philippines, Brunei, and Malaysia. Meanwhile, in an effort to avoid conflict, ASEAN and China are working to establish a code of conduct as a guideline for the behavior of each country in the waters as a major sea trade route with a value of $5 trillion per year, or one third of the total global trade. ASEAN ministers issued a political statement related to the current situation in Al Haram Asharif compound, located in Al Aqsa Mosque compound, Palestine, in two standalone statements in Manila, Philippines, on Sunday, August 6. Indonesia's Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi in a press conference said that the statement is an initiation of Indonesia and shows the Indonesian side of the Palestinian struggle. Minister Retno Marsudi further added that there are a number of points emphasized in the statement, such as asking all parties to refrain and promote peace and stability in the region.
Jadi, satu lagi, inisiatif Indonesia pada akhirnya.
Another Indonesia's initiative can finally be agreed upon by the ASEAN foreign ministers and again demonstrates Indonesia's commitment to continue to bring the Palestinian struggle within our diplomacy. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, other things that need to be concerned along with the issuance of a statement related to the situation in the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex is to encourage the world community to protect the Al-Haram Asharif compound, which is holy place of various religions. Minister Retno added, the statement includes the support to the Israeli-Palestinian peace process through two-state solution. The meeting of ASEAN foreign ministers in Manila, Philippines, is a series of the 50th anniversary of ASEAN, which will be held on August the 8th. The Marine and Fishery Affairs Ministry Resources Monitoring Base PSDKB in Batam said that 29 foreign ships have been captured in the waters of Natuna. Six of those ships were captured in 2016. The PSDKP chief Selamat in Natuna Sunday, August 6, said that the remaining 23 ships were captured this year. Selamat said the number of foreign ships captured in Natuna waters this year increased compared to last year. Throughout 2016, only 35 vessels were caught. Meanwhile, from January to July this year, 23 were captured. According to Selamat, the largest foreign ship captured by the ministry weighs 230 gross tonnage. The model of the ship is Thailand, but it carries a Vietnam flag. He also said that there are 64 foreign boat crews arrested in Natuna. According to Selamat, many foreign ships sail in Indonesia using flags that are not their own. He added that the 29 foreign ships and their crew members currently being held at Natuna are being investigated or tried. When their legal statuses are confirmed and decided, the PSDKP will wait for the ministry's instruction to sink the boats. Gerindra Party Chairman Prabowo is the biggest contender of Joko Widodo in the upcoming 2019 presidential election, a survey said. The result was shown in surveys conducted by three pollsters, Financial Times Confidential Research, Saiful Mujani Research Center, and Indobarometer. Indobarometer Executive Director Muhammad Kudori said on Sunday, August 6, that anything can happen. But there will be two or three tickets in 2019 election, Joko Widodo against Prabowo. Another ticket depends on how Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono positions the Democrat Party. Indobarometer survey in April indicates that 66.4% of 1,200 respondents in 34 provinces were satisfied with and trusted Joko Widodo. Meanwhile, Prabowo ranks second with 9.8%, followed by former Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama, or AHOK, with 8.3%. Meanwhile, FTCR, or Financial Times Confidential Research, poll on June 25 showed that 53% of respondents said that Prabowo was Joko Widodo's biggest contender. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A total of 17 Malio birds, an endemic species native to Central Sulawesi, bred at PT Donggi Senoro LNG, were released to their habitat at Bakiryang Wildlife Sanctuary, Bangga District, Central Sulawesi on Sunday, August 6. The release was led by Banggai Region Herwin Yatim, followed by officials of PT DS LNG and community leaders Moylong District, Banggai District. This event is also to commemorate the World Environment Day 2017. Malio birds, aged 3 to 4 months, are the result of hatching eggs using incubator technology. It is also the implementation of the Social Responsibility Program of the Liquefied Natural Gas Processing Investor in Central Sulawesi. Rahmat Media Communications Officer of PTDS LNG also said that it is the first Malay operating place outside its habitat and has been awarded by the UN Environmental Agency. He highly protected eggs of the animals were obtained from the community, which is generally the result of the ratio of conservation forest management Bang Kiriang. The release of the Malio birds was also coupled with the planting of candle nut trees, which is the main food source of the Malio bird. The third Sawalunto International Songkat Carnival, better known as SISCA 2017, is scheduled to take place in West Sumatra on August 25 to 27. Sawalunto Mayor Ali Yusuf said the carnival will feature several with interesting events. He said in a recent statement that Sawalunto administration has initiated the events again based on the spirit of preserving the traditional Songkat Silungkang. With the theme Heritage for Sustainability, the mayor hoped it will again bring success and have a positive impact on the economy of Sawalunto. A series of events, including an international Songkat exhibition, children's fashion show, SISCA night, and a national Songkat conference, will culminate in a carnival featuring Songkat Silungkang designs. Meanwhile, Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya hope Silungkang will continue to be an inspiration and source of creativity, not only as a cultural attraction for designers and industry players. It can also make a great contribution to increase the welfare of the people. The last item. Indonesian Ministry of Tourism has pledged its support for the 2017 World Cup Beach Woodball Championship scheduled to take place at Bintan Lagoon Resort in Riau Islands Province on August 9 to 13 as part of effort to boost cross-border tourism in the region. The ministry previously supported various other sporting events on the island, such as the Tour de Bintan, Bintan Triathlon, Ironman, Spartan Race, Moon Race, and International Golf Tournament. The World Cup statement that the committee are trusted by the International Woodball Federation to host the first World Championship. The activity involves the Indonesia Woodball Association in Tanjung Pinang as the local committee, in cooperation with the Bintan Tourism Agency, also supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry. He added, up to 12 countries have confirmed their attendance, such as Singapore, South Korea, China, and Indonesia. At least 176 players are expected to participate in the championship. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, and China adopt a Code of Conduct COC framework. ASEAN issues standalone statement related to Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. That was the news.
Listener commentary today entitled in ASEAN Towards Nuclear Free Zone. Towards a nuclear free zone, it is one of the agenda that continues to be discussed by ASEAN in its 50th anniversary. In a series of 5th ASEAN Ministerial Meeting, AMM, held from 2nd to 8th August 2017 in Manila, the Philippines, the issue of ASEAN nuclear free zone was discussed in the Commission. The Southeast Asian Nuclear Weapon Free Zone, or known as the Bangkok Treaty, is an agreement signed on 15 December 1995 by Southeast Asian nations, comprising Brunei Darussalam, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam, to secure the ASEAN region from the dangers of nuclear weapons. Indonesia affirms that after 22 years since the signing of the Southeast Asian Nuclear Weapon Free Zone Treaty by the 10 ASEAN member states to make the ASEAN free from nuclear weapons, there have not been any countries reacting to the agreement protocol. Indonesia is a country that actively has voiced and encouraged the need for countries that still have nuclear weapons to take advantage of the treaty. It is meant so that countries in Southeast Asia are free from the impact of the use of nuclear weapons of other countries. We all are aware of the impact of nuclear weapons. Nuclear power is the use of nuclear reactions that release nuclear energy and has a powerful destructive power. A nuclear bomb is capable of destroying a city and has only been used twice so far, namely in the World War II. As you say, in the World War II by the United States on Hiroshima and Nagasaki cities in Japan. At the time, the explosive power of the nuclear bombs dropped in both cities was only 20 kilos or thousands of tons of TNT, while the current nuclear bomb explosive power is more than 70 mega or millions of tons of TNT. The impact arising from nuclear weapons is very powerful. The bombing of nuclear weapons by the Allies in Hiroshima and Nagasaki on August 6, 1945 during the World War II took unforeseen sacrifices. It was recorded the bombing killed as many as 140,000 people in Hiroshima and 80,000 in Nagasaki. The atomic bomb attacks also devastated Japan. In addition, the after effects are prolonged, suffering from generation to generation due to genetic-derived chemical radiation, including cancer and disability in the born baby. Of course, countries in Southeast Asia that are members of ASEAN do not want the bombing incident to happen again. The efforts of the Indonesian government to encourage and invite countries that still have nuclear weapons to take advantage of the Southeast Asian Nuclear Weapon Free Zone treaties should be supported, so that countries in Southeast Asia are free from the impact of the use of nuclear weapons of other countries. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. Well, we begin with an event which occurred on August 7, 1945, when the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, PPKI, was established. The Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, or Indonesian Panitia Persiapan Kemerdekaan Indonesia, PPKI, was a body established on 7 August 1945. To prepare for the transfer of authority from occupying Japanese to Indonesia. The permission for the formation of committee came from Lieutenant General Hisaichi Terauchi, a commander of the Japanese Southern Area who was based in Saigon. On 9 August, the day of atomic bombing of Nagasaki, the Japanese authorities who were occupying Indonesia who future leaders Soekarno and Hatta to Dalat, French Indochina, for meeting with General Hisaichi Terauchi, the commander of the Southern Area. He promised Indonesian independence would be granted on 24 August and appointed Soekarno as chairman of the PPKI. The first meeting was planned for 18 August and the second 19 August. The men flew back to Indonesia, arriving on 14 of August. The Indonesian underground rejected an independence dictated by the Japanese, preparing to win it through force of arms. However, 2 days after the Japanese surrender, Soekarno declared independence on 17 August 1945. The next event was in 1965 when Singapore left the Federation of Malaysia. Singapore was one of the 14 states of Malaysia from 1963 to 1965. Malaysia was formed on 16 September 1963 as a new political entity from the merger of Federation of Malaya with former British colonies of North Borneo, Sarawak, and Singapore. This marked the end of 144 4-year period of British rule in Singapore, beginning with the founding of modern Singapore by Sir Stamford Raffles in 1819. The union, however, was unstable due to distrust and ideological differences between leaders of state of Singapore and the federal government of Malaysia. Such issues resulted in frequent disagreements relating to economics, finance, and politics. The United Malay National Organization, or UMNO, which was the political party in power in the federal government, saw the participation of the Singapore-based People Action Party, PAP, in the Malaysian general election of 1964 as a threat to its Malay-based political system. There were also major radical riots that year involving the majority Chinese community and the Malay community in Singapore. During 1965 Singaporean by-election, UMNO threw his support behind the opposition Barisan Socialist candidate. In 1965, Malaysian Prime Minister Tunku Abdul Rahman decided upon the expulsion of Singapore from the Federation, leading to the Singaporean 9 August 1965. And the last event was in 1998 when the United States Embassy was bombed. The United States embassies were bombed on August 7, 1998, in which over 200 people were killed in nearly simultaneous dreadbone explosion in two East African cities, one of the United States Embassy in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and another one of the United States Embassy in Nairobi, Kenya. The attacks, which were linked to local members of the Egyptian Islamic Jihad, brought Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Sawahiri, and their terrorist organization Al-Qaeda to the attention of the American public for the first time. Resulted in a Federal Bureau of Investigation FBI placing bin Laden on its 10 most wanted fugitives list. The FBI also connected the attack to Azerbaijan as 50 calls were placed via satellite phone by bin Laden to associates in the country's capital, Baku. Fasul Abdullah Muhammad and Abdullah Ahmed Abdullah were credited for being the masterminds behind the bombing. Listener, that was today's news story read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Minister of Trade Guarantees Indonesia's Palm Oil Quality. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita in front of Russian entrepreneurs during the opening of Indonesia-Russia Palm Oil Business Forum in Moscow, Russia, on Thursday, guaranteed the quality of palm oil from Indonesia as the best in the world. The Business Forum is a series of Indonesian Festival 2 event held by the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Moscow from August the 4th to 6th to promote various Indonesian products and services and tourism in Russia. The meeting established the Association of Indonesian-Russia. Enggar Tias Tolukita assured the objection from the European Union on Indonesian palm oil products said to endanger health and cause deforestation due to environmental damage is baseless and actually a matter of trade competition because Indonesian products are very competitive. Enggar Tias Tolukita explained there is no slight health risk to the quality of Indonesia's palm oil. Similarly, there is no concern in protecting the environment in the management of the palm oil industry. He asserted the government is maintaining the national product quality in order to be traded fairly in the era of free trade at the moment. Meanwhile, plantation company PT Bakri Sumatra Plantations TBK said it is optimistic that palm oil production in 2017 will continue to improve, even though the price of the commodity in the first half of this year is weakening. Director and Investor Relations PT Bakri Sumatra Plantation TBK Andi W. Setianto in a written statement in Jakarta recently explained that the company continues to conduct a series of revitalization program of plantations and production facilities to maintain productivity of palm kernel and rubber plantations amid weakening world crude palm oil prices in the first half of 2017. He said that the company follows the protocol of Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil and Indonesian Sustainable Palm Oil, which upholds the principle of environmentally friendly and sustainability, including no burning policies in the activities of plantation. The company has also innovated through the development of superior seed, which produces more palm fruit production with the same size of plantation land. Currently, with a national oil palm plantation of approximately 10 million hectares, the total production is only about 30 million tons of CPO per year. With superior seeds, the potential for productivity can increase to 80 million tons of crude palm oil or CPO per year after three planting program. Well, that was Focus Today on Minister of Trade Guarantees Indonesia's Palm Oil Quality. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with news in brief. ASEAN and China officially adopted a framework for a code of conduct in the South China Sea at the ASEAN-China meeting in Manila, the Philippines, on Sunday. At the press conference, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said both sides would put forward constructive engagement in adopting the COC framework toward the definitive agreement of the code of conduct. ASEAN ministers issued a political statement related to the current situation in Al-Haram Asharif compound located in Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, Palestine, in two standalone statements in Manila, Philippines, on Sunday, 6 August. Indonesia's Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi in a press conference stated that the statement is an initiation of Indonesia and shows the Indonesian side of the Palestinian struggle. The Marine and Fishery Affairs Ministry's Resources Monitoring Base in Batam said that 29 foreign ships have been captured in the waters of Natuna. Six of those ships were captured in 2016. Gerindra Party Chairman Prabowo is the biggest contender of Joko Widodo in the upcoming 2019 presidential election. The result was shown in surveys conducted by three pollsters, Financial Times Confidential Research, Saiful Mujani Research Center, and Indobarometer. A total of 17 Malio bird, an endemic species native to Central Sulawesi, bred at PT Donggi Senoro LNG, were released to their habitat at Bakiryang Wildlife Sanctuary, Banggai District, Central Sulawesi, on Sunday, August 6. The release was led by Banggai Regent Herwin Yatim, followed by officials of PT DS LNG and community leaders Moilong District, Banggai District. The third Sawalunto International Songket Carnival, better known as Siska 2017, is scheduled to take place in West Sumatra on August 25 to 27. Sawalunto Mayor Ali Yusuf said the carnival will feature several with interesting events. Indonesian Ministry of Tourism has pledged its support for the 2017 World Cup Beach Woodball Championship scheduled to take place at Bintan Lagoon Resort in Riau Islands Province on August 9 to 13 as part of effort to boost cross-border tourism in the region. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia Broadcasting Daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Sanghyang Island in Banten. Stay tuned. Listeners, Sanghyang is a small island in the Strait of Sunda, namely between Java and Sumatra Island. Administratively, this island is in the area of Serang Regency Banten. Sanghyang Island offers many beautiful marine tourism objects. The island, with width around 720 hectares, has some beaches with amazing undersea ecosystem. Because of that, no wonder the island has a nickname, Seven Wonders of Banten. Listeners, if you go to Sanghyang Island, you can access the trip from Jakarta to Cilegon City. From Cilegon, you can continue to Anyer. The trip takes around 3 hours by car through toll road. Then the trip is still continued by using crossing boat service to Sanghyang Island from Manuk Beach in Anyer. The trip takes around 1 hour from Manuk Beach to go to Sanghyang Island. Arriving on this island, you will feel fresh air because Sanghyang Island is shady and greenish. It has also white sand and clear sea water. Listeners, with clean and white sand, you can do various activities at the beach of Sanghyang, such as sport water and relaxation. If you are interested in scuba diving, snorkeling, sunbathing, fishing, going around by boat and also see the beauty of coral reef, you can visit Raden Gulf, Legon Waru and South Sea, which is in Sanghyang Island. Listeners, besides enjoying marine tour, you can also enjoy historical tour on Sanghyang Island. You can come to area surrounding Indonesian Navy Post. Over there, you can witness the remains of heritage of the Second World War, such as cannon and defense fortress of Japanese soldiers from Allies attack. Local people say that in the colonial period, this island was a place to store Indonesian wealth to be transported by ships to the country of the colonialists. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Sanghyang Island in Banten Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Oh. Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Di Salon. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Salon kecantikan. Salon kecantikan. In English, beauty salon. Potong, potong. In English, to cut. Rambut, rambut. In English, hair. Model, model. In English, style. Pendek, pendek. In English, short. Panjang, panjang. In English, long. Cocok, cocok. In English, suitable. Percaya, percaya. In English, believe. Sebelum, sebelum. In English, before. Cuci, cuci. In English, to wash. Now, we give you an example of conversation entitled Di Salon, or in English means at the beauty salon. The conversation is between A and B at the beauty salon. A. Saya mau potong rambut. Saya mau potong rambut. In English, I want to cut my hair. B. Kamu mau potong rambut pendek atau rambut panjang? Kamu mau potong rambut pendek atau rambut panjang? In English, which one do you like? Short hairstyle or long hairstyle? A. Saya mau model rambut yang cocok untuk saya. Saya mau model rambut yang cocok untuk saya. In English, I want a hairstyle which is suitable for me. B. Menurut saya, kamu lebih cocok rambut pendek. Menurut saya, kamu lebih cocok rambut pendek. In English, I think you are more suitable for short hairstyle. A. Baiklah. Saya percaya kamu. Baiklah, saya percaya kamu. In English, alright, I follow your suggestion. B. Saya akan cuci dulu rambut kamu sebelum potong rambut. Saya akan cuci dulu rambut kamu sebelum potong rambut. In English, I will wash it first before I cut your hair. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for attention. See you again tomorrow and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Nice to meet you again in the Music Corner, a regular segment which introduces you to Indonesian songs. Today, we will introduce you to some female singers, Isnarti in keroncong music. To open the segment, let's listen to a song entitled Karangan Bunga dari Selatan by Isnarti. Enjoy the song. Listener, the song Karangan Bunga dari Selatan is a heroic keroncong song. This song tells a story about a woman who let go a man to go to the battlefield to fight for independence, even though the man may be fall and never go back home. It is a devotion for the sake of the state and nation's independence. Although this song is an old song, the lyrics are extremely touching and evoking a sense of nationalism. Well, listener, let's listen to the next keroncong song entitled Lili Bungaku, sang by Juliana.
Musik.
Lele Bungaku is an original keroncong song dedicated by Juliana Attractively. Her typical character and timbre are exceptionally compatible to perform the keroncong songs. The song Lili Bungaku is a song with poetic lyrics. Lili can be interpreted as flower in literal meaning, or the term for a woman for her elegance and beauty. Flower indeed becomes a decoration to give happiness and pleasure for someone who stares and smells its private fragrance. That was a glimpse of the song Lili Bungaku. Well, listener, to conclude today's segment, let's listen to a keroncong song entitled Keroncong Suci, sung by Ida Rashid. See you on the next editions of Music Corner. Bye for now.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.